What's the difference, really, in the type of training that U.S. forces are giving foreign forces in counter-drug as opposed to earlier training? Is there a difference? Is there something more specialized that's being done?
There's not much difference between counter-narcotics training and counter-insurgency training. I've asked that exact question to members of the U.S. military, and they've acknowledged. I mean, there's some things they don't teach, like large unit tactics and artillery and things like that that you teach in a regular overall counterinsurgency effort. But small unit tactics, light infantry skills, a lot of marksmanship, a lot of intelligence. Across the board, skills that are equally applied to both cases. The way you fight, a drug trafficking organization in the jungles of a Latin American country is awfully similar to the way you fight a guerrilla organization. And now that line's actually being blurred anyway.
And is that what you refer to, light infantry? Is that small squadrons with small arms, essentially? Pretty much.
This is, you remember the movie Platoon, your small group of guys going into the jungle and trying to clear out the other group from the area.
You also mentioned special forces. Can you tell us a little bit about the special forces in general, but also specifically as to how they're involved in Latin America?
Sure. Special forces are sort of your elite units of the military, your Green Berets, your Navy SEALs, Air Force Special Operations Squadrons. Every part of the military has special forces. There's about 45,000 of them now in our military, and they're supposed to be, they're called the warrior diplomats of the U.S. military, meaning that they're not just, I mean, they're good at killing you, but they're also supposed to be good at dealing with civilian populations and winning hearts and minds. Anybody who's been following the Afghanistan conflict has seen the role that special forces have played, most of it in complete secrecy. Special forces' role in Latin America and elsewhere expanded a lot in the early 1990s. The law changed, giving them more latitude to offer training, joint training with other militaries. And as a result, through a program called JCET, Joint Combined Exchange Training, very important program to keep track of, the special forces train in about 110 countries a year with militaries of those countries.
Quick question there. You mentioned that JCET is something that we should keep track of. Aside from Just the Facts, the book Just the Facts that one can get at your website, www.cionline.org, how else would a regular individual get access to this information, for instance, on what the special forces are doing? What would they do? How do you begin learning about this, aside from, of course, Just the Facts?
It's hard for us, it's hard for most members of Congress, other than the most powerful ones, to get information about what the special forces are doing with other foreign forces, especially now in the post-September 11th climate, when a lot of this stuff is being increasingly classified. The Freedom of Information Act requests, which take forever, but do yield new information eventually, asking your member of Congress to get information for you about something that is disturbing.
Does that work?
It does if you can develop a relationship with that member of Congress, if it's a good member of Congress, one who has a track record of being critical at least, or
how does a regular
role.
How does a regular
citizen do it?
Yeah.
I mean, we're having a... here, I'll just tell you how we do it, and there's a lot left for us to do. We get our hands on the annual called the 11 Report, boring stuff, but it comes out every April. And it does have at least a listing of the unclassified JSETs.
So one could ask your member of Congress to get you a copy?
To do, but you know, we've usually done that by calling the Pentagon, and you end up talking to about 15, 20 different people going from office to office. The Office of Special Operations and Low-Intensity Conflict is the one that you eventually want, usually, but they kick you around, too. It's a pain in the ass. It's a pain in the ass for members of Congress, except for the ones on the Armed Services Committees, to get this report, even though it's ostensibly not classified. Another crucial report to look for, and it is required by law to be put on the Internet, is the Foreign Military Training Report, annually put out now by the State Department and Defense Department. That was put in the law in 1999, and though the State and Defense Departments have tried to have it taken out, they haven't succeeded yet.
Where in the internet does one get that report?
That is on the State Department's website, www.state.gov, but it's hard to find. I have a list of all reports that come out and where you can find them on the internet if they're there at, and get your pencils ready, www.ciponline.org/facts/reports.htm. And there's a link there to the foreign military training reports that have come out in the last 2 years. And if you have the patience, you can look through country by country, program by country, program by program, and it lists every course that was given and how many students took it from each country. And JSETs are in the list of courses unless they're classified.